Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, entitled Creation of the Universal Form. Text number 4. Prabuddha Karma Devena
Prabuddha Karma Devena
Trayo Vimshadiko Ganaha Prerito Janayat Swabhir Matra Bhir Adhipurusham Prabuddha Awakened Karma Activities Daivena
By the
will of the Supreme
Trayah Vimshatikaha
By the 23 principal ingredients, Ganaha, the combination, Preritaha, induced by, Ajanayat, manifested, Swabhi, by his personal, Matrabhi, plenary expansion, Adhipurusham, the gigantic universal form. Vishwarupa. Translation: When the 23 principal elements were set in action by the will of the Supreme, the gigantic universal form or the Vishwarupa body of the Lord came into existence. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Virat Roop or Vishwarup, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, which is very much appreciated by the impersonalist, is not an eternal form of the Lord. It is manifested by the supreme will of the Lord after the ingredients of material creation. Lord Krishna exhibited this Virat or Vishwarupa to Arjun just to convince the impersonalist that He is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna exhibited the Virat Roop. It is not that Krishna was exhibited by the Virat Roop. The Virat Roop is not, therefore, an eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. It is a material manifestation of the Lord. The Archa Vigraha or the worshipable deity in the temple is a similar manifestation of the Lord for the neophytes. But in spite of their material touch, such forms of the Lord as the Virat and Archa are all non-different from his eternal form as Lord Krishna. Translation again. When the 23 principal elements were set in action by the will of the Supreme, the gigantic universal form or the Vishwarup body of the Lord came into existence. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahaganadhan Samsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा कृणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पदितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत
గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే భూతైర్మహద్భిర్యమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయ చేతే యదమూష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే.
హరే కృష్ణ. హియర్ వి ఆర్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ ద డిస్కషన్ ఆన్ క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ చాప్టర్ విదుర ఆస్క్డ్ మైత్రేయ about the creation of this material world, and Maitreya proceeded in answering these questions. So if we look into Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see different kinds of sophistications in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we consider just the aesthetics, Bhagavatam is so sophisticated in terms of aesthetics. The kind of poetry that has been presented by Srimad Bhagavatam is far, far advanced. In fact, even the Western scholars, they appreciate, those who are into the Puranic studies, those who are into Indology, they do appreciate the presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam just for aesthetics. So, even in the level of the mind, in the level of aesthetics, Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified even by the materialists. Now, what to speak about seeing Srimad Bhagavatam in its own glory as a rasa shastra? As a shastra that presents the intricacies of mellows and devotional service. So it is amazing to see that the relationships between the devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, between the devotees and the Supreme Lord that is being presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, is very sophisticated. It is very detailed. It is very precise. It is the perfection of artistry. It is the highest. It is the pinnacle of dance. It is the pinnacle of music. So the highest presentation is given in Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of just aesthetics, and what to speak about the rasa, the mellows in devotional service. And now, as a different aspect, just in terms of technicality of presentation, Srimad Bhagavatam is sophisticated in terms of just technical details. And that we can see in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, Srimad Bhagavatam, how technically it presents creation. And to the degree that we may not be able to understand, even the greatest intellectuals could find it a bit difficult to understand the process of creation that is being presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in fact, we had to understand in all levels, in the level of the mind, in the level of the intelligence, and in the level of the self, Srimad Bhagavatam is highly sophisticated and is perfect. So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, idam hi pumsam tapasa shrudasya cha sushtasya suktasya cha buddhi shaktayoho yat anyuda archidartha kavibhir nirodvito yat uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. So it has been concluded by the greatest of the transcendentalists that perfection of the presentation, the perfection of the intelligence, the perfection of the austerities, the perfection of the chanting of Vedic hymns is ultimately to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So wherever there is intelligence, wherever there is poetry, the pinnacle of that could be found when that is being utilized to glorify Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is defined by choice poetry. So that we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, there are a few verses in Krishna Leela Stava by Sanatan Goswami towards the end, which are exclusively for glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So these verses glorify Srimad Bhagavatam according to the realization of Sanatana Goswami. So we can understand Sanatana Goswami is a great, great devotee. And he shares his realizations in Krishna Lila Stava regarding Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll read two verses in this regard, which are very wonderful. Madega bantho masangin madguno mad manadhanaha manishtaraga madbhagya madananda namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, so this is a prayer to Srimad Bhagavatam. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. So Sri Sanatana Goswami is seeing everything in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is seeing friend. Who is the friend? Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is the wealth? That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is the deliverer? That is also Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is the guru? That is also Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting such a multifarious role in his relationship to Sanatana Goswami. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not just a theory, it's not just a poetry, it's not just aesthetics. But Bhagavatam is a person who can reciprocate. So the more we are personal to Srimad Bhagavatam, the more Srimad Bhagavatam do reciprocates to us. So this is the nature of transcendental literature. It's a theory as much as it's a theory for us. For example, for the materialistic scholars, Srimad Bhagavatam is just a theory, and Srimad Bhagavatam remains just as a theory. Whereas for a devotee, when he or she takes shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam reciprocates accordingly. Srimad Bhagavatam reveals his own glory. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are not dealing with any mundane literature. Rather, we are dealing with Krishna himself. That's the reason Srimad Bhagavatam is considered literary incarnation of Krishna. Krishna samapsa dhamo pagade dharma gyanadvisaha kalo nashta drisha esha puranarko adhunoditaha. This puranarka, this is compared to a sun, adhuna utitaha. Now it has been arisen in the sky after the departure of Lord Krishna. To give shelter to dharma, to give shelter to religiosity and ultimately to spirituality, Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen in the sun in the beginning of Kali Yuga. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Sanatana Goswami again glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. Asadhu sadhuda dain adi nicha uttaraga taraka hama munchaka dajin premna hrutkanthayo spraha. Bhagavatam has the greatest of the potencies. What is that? Bhagavatam can elevate most fallen to the highest platform. One who is asadhu can become a sadhu by hearing and applying Srimad Bhagavatam. Adi Nicha can become Uccha. Nicha means most fallen. Can become Uccha, who can become elevated by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sanatana Goswami prays that let this Bhagavatam become in my heart and let it come out from my mouth with pure love for Krishna. So now we have such a great opportunity to study Srimad Bhagavatam every day. We are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day because that is part of the morning program. So if you don't have the opportunity by any reason, we have internet where it is being broadcasted every day at the same time. And if that is not possible, at least there are some recorded lectures. Otherwise, we have book Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we have our iPad, iPhone. Name it, so many devices that we have such an easy access to Srimad Bhagavatam. Still, we may not have time and we may not take the opportunity. That is our misfortune. So we should actually take this opportunity. What did Srila Prabhupada do when he went to America? He said, Bhagavad Gita is not enough. I want Srimad Bhagavatam to be translated before the departure to America. So he had his Bhagavatams ready before he boarded the ship. Actually, he boarded the ship and then later it was boarded in another port from India. Then he went to America. So this is the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we need to take time in reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and assimilating. It's not just enough, you know, devotees sometimes say, you know, I also sometimes consider, you know, just I read 1 hour or 2 hours, good reading, 1 hour, 2 hours. It's not just the hours. Hours are important because That's how we can get fixed in reading. If we have, okay, given this much time, I'm going to read. So in that way, we can be fixed in reading. But then it is a question of absorbing. If we absorb Srimad Bhagavatam, then what happens to the consciousness? That is asadhu, sadhu, dadayan. One who is an asadhu can become sadhu. Ati nicha, most fallen can become uccha, can become elevated by the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because that will transform the consciousness and then we act according to Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is a two-sided process. We hear and we do act according to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. And particularly speaking about this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is quite technical. Many times, devotees want to skip through this section, creation. It is considered the most impalatable for some people. And some people do love this section as well. But, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. So everything is actually good. In the same section, actually, Sanatana Goswami tells, Prema Aksharayate. One of these verses, Prema Aksharayata, he again glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that every syllable, every akshar of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with love of Godhead. Because everything is reminding completely of Krishna for a pure devotee. So that's why in our neophyte tendency, when we come to some section which is a bit difficult, we want to just turn the pages as soon as possible. So, this section has a significance. One thing, of course, it is connected to Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. And think about what kind of atheistic propaganda that is being going on in this world. If you talk about creation from a child to a learned scholar in this world, what would they say? How the creation took place? What is the answer? Big Bang. Everyone, just, no matter anyone, just say, they may not even understand what is Big Bang, but it is like, like this, everyone answers the question, Big Bang. But there are so many questions unanswered, classic questions unanswered, even regarding Big Bang. Laymen think it has been completely proven. It is, everything is proven. It's just, as one time I was speaking to my dad, he said, yeah, when a scientific theory comes, the proof actually comes along with, isn't it? He was asking me. That is, when a theory is presented, proofs are coming along with that. That is the general tendency of people. People do think like that. But the reality is something else. One question is, what was before Big Bang? One classic question. What was before Big Bang? Nothing. Right? That is the answer. We don't know. Answer is actually, we don't know. So the most common answer is nothing. So everything came from nothing. Just like the Buddhist philosophy. There's not much difference in terms of this aspect. Everything came from nothing. So what was before Big Bang? Actually, there is no answer to it. Then another hero of the Big Bang theory is the laws of nature. How everything took place? According to the laws of nature. Whole creation took place according to the laws of nature. But there is a problem. Because they also, the scientists also, the atheistic scientists also admit that laws of nature didn't exist before Big Bang. Because nothing existed before Big Bang, right? So how can the laws of nature exist before Big Bang? So what actually guided Big Bang? What laws actually guided Big Bang? There's no answer to this question. Next problem. Okay, Big Bang took place, everything manifested in the, a tiny fraction of a second. So that is the time when even the laws of nature came into existence in the beginning of creation. As soon as the bang, the explosion took place, immediately the laws of nature came into existence. So how this laws of nature came into existence? How? And then these laws are guiding everything else. Because the hero in this Big Bang is the laws of nature. Everything is happening according to the laws of nature. At the same time, it is quite foolish to ascribe all the credit to laws of nature. Because laws of nature are just laws. It doesn't have any enforcement power. Can you understand? The laws are there. In this world also there are so many laws. You can have the law books. But the enforcement and the laws are two different things. Can we understand the point? Enforcement is something different because the enforcement department of a particular law, it is different. If it is a criminal law or certain civil laws, there is police department to enforce that. Or there are traffic authorities to enforce traffic laws. So the laws in itself cannot be enforced. It doesn't have the potency to do that. However, the whole credit is given to the laws of nature. So that is quite unfortunate. In fact, when it came to the Big Bang Theory, Stephen Hawking, he had an interview with Larry King. Larry King actually interviewed in CNN, Stephen Hawking. So he asked a question. So Stephen Hawking started saying that the whole creation, everything is following one principle. This is the latest. He said it is the M theory. M theory means the multiverse theory. It's a highly speculative theory. M theory means multiverse, means there were or there are multiple universes. And it comes to maybe trillions of universes. Maybe they are right, because that's what we are also saying. But they are speaking based on speculation. There are multiverses, billions, trillions of universes, 2 to the power of, I don't know how many thousands, 2 to the power of so many thousands. So it's a huge number. So many universes are there, and different laws are existing in different universes, which could be true as well. But here, the laws that we have, it is actually fine-tuned for this particular universe. That's why we have a set of laws here in this particular universe. So he answered, how come? How this laws of material nature came into existence? Larry King asked Stephen Hawking. So he said, it is a result of multiverse theory. How the laws came into existence? It is the result of multiverse theory. First of all, the multiverse theory, there is no proof to it. It is highly speculative. But he's telling that is the proof for having all these universal laws. Then he said, how is it possible? Because it is an unproven theory, and how can the multiverse theory bring in the laws of nature? Then Stephen Hawking said, this question is absurd questioning. Because it is like if someone asks, how come 1 plus 1 is equal to 2? If somebody asks, how come 1 plus 1 is equal to 2? It is just such a stupid, absurd questioning. In the same way you are asking, how the multiverse theory can bring in the laws of nature? You have to take it for granted. You have to believe. Really, this is the reality. He said, practically he was telling you have to believe, even though he didn't use the term believe. But he was meaning, it's an absurd questioning to ask how the laws of nature are the result of multiverse theory. So this is the kind of understanding that the greatest of the scholars in the material world has about the creation of the universe. They don't know. And it is just given as a matter of a belief system. It is a belief system because there is no proofs to it. Nothing. Now when Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting, it gives a sophisticated understanding of material creation. Here we have to understand a bit of historical context. Why atheism became so popular in one sense? Because in the Judeo-Christian tradition, they failed to answer creation and other big questions. They did answer, but the answers were too simplistic for a rational, inquisitive mind. In one sense, it's right, let there be light, light came into existence. Let there be creation, creation, which is true in one sense. But they couldn't go into the details at all. They couldn't explain in any rational way. So their presentation about time, their presentation of universe, the presentation of creation, it became too simplistic, and some of them became a bit, silly. So those who had intelligence, they had to deny. They had to look for something alternative. So these kind of theories became popular in this world, and it became the norm in this world. Now, we will just briefly go through the creation as it is presented in the last chapter and till here. Briefly, because I am not going to get into too much of details, but I have one more interesting, very important question about the scientific theory of creation. Why there was such creation? This is a very important question. Why there is a creation? Why there is such a world present? What is the purpose of this world? Scientifically, there is no answer to this question. Everything is by chance, so it is there, that's all. Why? Because why I am posing this question? Because in the beginning of the last chapter, the creation is actually explained, first explaining the purpose behind creation. So Shukadeva Goswami and then later Maitreya Muni explains why there was creation, what is the purpose behind creation. It's not just presenting the creator and the process of creation, but the purpose is given. Isn't it logical to give, if we create something, suppose if we are a manufacturer, okay, we can explain the manufacturing process. And for example, in terms of creation, we have a product. We have, after the manufacturing, we have the product ready. Now, if you try to trace back the process of manufacturing, and then we have to come to the point, what is the purpose of this product? So there is no, and scientifically, there is no answer to this. So our science is so scientific that there is no answer to this scientific question. All right. So here, the great sages actually begins to explain why there is creation. It is mentioned, Mene ashantam ivatmanam supta shaktir asupta drik. Mene ashantam ivatmanam. So it's a poetic expression given. That is, the Lord found himself incomplete. Okay, the Lord found himself incomplete without his separated part and parcels. Incomplete. And in this poetic way, Srimad Bhagavatam presents, Mene asantam. Santam means present. Asantam means not present. He himself felt that I am non-existent without my part and parcels. Because the living entities, they are present within the body of the Lord. They are not actually manifesting any characteristics. They are in supta. They are in the slumber. So they didn't manifest any activities. They didn't exhibit their free will. So they were supta. So the Lord felt himself incomplete to the degree that he felt that he was non-existent without his part and parcels. So this is now, let's go one more level deeper. Why did he feel like that? So he felt like that. Okay, there is one more explanation here. When it is written, Mene Asantam, that Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to this verse that it is a feeling of a husband without a wife. So man and woman got married, their husband and wife. And now the wife left the husband. So the husband is feeling incomplete. This is an ideal Vedic society. So, you know, so much of attachment between, you know, husband and wife. You know, in the current age, you know, they may think, you know, it's a piece of, I have some peace of mind. You know, no. So we have to understand. Prabhupada and, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, everyone takes this example, you know. Okay, the husband feeling separation from the wife. Okay, in the same way, the Lord felt, okay, I am non-existent without my part and parcel. So now, next question comes. Why he felt like that? That's where the compassion of the Lord comes. Because these living entities, they are Sachidananda Vigraha. They can manifest completely their pastimes with the Lord. They can be in loving relationship with the Lord. They don't have to suffer. But now they have misused their free will. And due to that, at this point of time, they are just lying within Karnatakashaya Vishnu. So they are not manifesting anything. And the Lord felt compassion for them, and that's how he felt incomplete. And then he thought, okay, I must start the creation process where these living entities can perfect their life. They can remember me and they can come back to me and they can actually proceed the eternal life. So out of compassion, he started creation. So compassion is his feeling. And because of compassion, he felt incomplete. Or non-existent without his part and parcels. So this is the reason for creation. Next, as we know, that the Lord glanced upon the material energy. He impregnated the material energy, the sum total of unmanifest material energy known as Pradhan, with his glance, which involves the jiva. The jivas are there. The karmas are included and the time factor is there. So impregnated the material energy with these three aspects. As it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the last chapter, Viryam Adhatta Viryavan. He impregnated the material energy. Viryavan, who had the potency, he impregnated the material energy through his vision. That's the reason it's very interesting. In the prayer I was chanting before, Bhungte Gunan Shodash Shodashatmakaha. Bhungte Gunan. There is only one person who is qualified to enjoy the material nature. Who is that? Krishna. Because he can only enjoy the material world. If we try to enjoy materially, what happens? We suffer. So that's why Bhungte Gunan. He is qualified to enjoy matter. Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka. Shodasha. The 16 primary ingredients. He can enjoy. So his creation is, he's doing out of compassion, but we had to understand, still he's enjoying. How is he enjoying the gunas, the material nature? By just seeing. So this is creation. And then it is mentioned, what is the next step? He looks into the material nature, he impregnates with the jivas, with the kala and the karma. Then the mahatvato is formed through prakriti. Prakriti is the initial nature from the pradhan, then it transforms into mahatvato. That's why when we read through this section, it is mentioned that initially it is mahatattva which is predominance, which has a predominance of sattva. It has a predominance of goodness. So that is mahatattva. Then in due course, this mahatattva gets transformed into a tattva which is in predominance of rajas, of passion. So that is called sutra-tattva. So the mahatattva gets transformed into sutra-tattva. And in due course, it again gets transformed into ahankara tattva, which is in predominance of ignorance. So even mahatattva, it gets actually transformed. And due to this kind of transformation, as it is mentioned, there are 23 elements that are being created, along with the demigods, elemental demigods. And in between, there is one more thing happening with the mahatattva, which are from the Lord's body, the seeds of the universes emanates and which enter into mahatattva. So mahatattva, it has the different ingredients. There are jivas and there are the kala element is working and the karma is there. And on top of that, the spiritual seeds from the universal seeds from the body of Karnataka Shaya Vishnu enters into mahatattva. And then actually the creation continues in that way. Then it is mentioned these demigods. If you try to understand, this is still in mahatattva, in its different transformed forms. But the demigods are present in this mahatattva. Can we see a kind of contradiction in this? When is actually demigods created? Who created demigods? Brahma, primarily. It's Brahma. From Brahma, the demigods came about. But this is not even creation of Brahma. There is not even Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. There is not even Brahma. So how these demigods came into existence? Because for creation to proceed, the Lord empowered some jivas who are qualified to proceed with the creation. And so these are the elemental demigods, which are prototype demigods, which are demigods. They are present within mahatattva to continue with the creation. And that's why after this took place, the demigods found themselves incapable of doing the creation. They couldn't assist in creation. They found the mahatattva and the other ingredients, they are not combining to proceed with the creation. They couldn't do that. So then in the previous chapter, till the end, last section, the whole section is about the prayers by the demigods. They started praying to the Supreme Lord. Because we are here, we have an entrusted task to perform, but we are incapable of doing so. So we have to understand, demigods are dependent on Krishna. Not after creation and after empowerment from Brahma and the Supreme Lord, later part, but right from the beginning. And now, after this, the Lord heard this prayer. And that's why, in the previous verse it is mentioned that the Lord, along with Kali, Kali is the personification of material energy, entered into the elements. The Lord entered and the Kali entered and then the creation proceeded. And how it actually being proceeded? Because the Lord then expands as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. So now Karnadakashaya Vishnu expands into Garbhodakashaya Vishnu and these universal seeds are separated and forms different separate universes. And Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, as the first step, as it is mentioned here, what take place? The Vishwaroop or the Viratroop comes into existence. And this Viratroop that is presented is the subtle Virat Roop, the subtle manifestation of the universal form of the Lord. And later, there is the gross manifestation of universal form. What is the gross manifestation of universal form? Anyone knows? What is that? Exactly, that is the planetary system, that which we are part of. So the Lord, we have actually two bodies, right? What bodies we have? We have our self, apart from the self, there is subtle body and the gross body. Similarly, the Vishwarup that is presented here is the subtle body of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is Lord, and in with respect to this material creation, this Vishwarup presented is his subtle body. And the gross Viratrup, which is going to manifest after this, that is including the planetary system, that is the gross body of the Supreme Lord. So that's why in this purport, it is mentioned one interesting point that actually the Archavigraha and different bodies like the Viratrup, everything is non-different from Krishna, because everything is body of the Lord, in the sense everything is energy of the Lord. And here, so that is the creation aspect so far presented. And here, very interesting point is mentioned in this purport regarding the universal form, that the impersonalists like universal form a lot, because they want to see that the absolute truth is spread everywhere, because that is their theory. The absolute truth means it's there everywhere. And they say that impersonal aspect could be perceived through universal form, because he can see that the Lord's power is there everywhere. In the same way, the ultimate Brahman is all-pervading. So they really like the impersonal aspect, this universal aspect. And from the second kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that this is the first step in God realization. When an impersonalist, he actually see the material creation as God, it is considered the first step in God realization, because they cannot appreciate the Sachidananda Vigraha of the Lord. Krishna has his spiritual form, and that we can perceive through the Archavigraha, the deity form of the Lord. Because the deity form of the Lord is non-different from Krishna. Because we have materially contaminated eyes, and we cannot see Sachidananda form. So the Lord mercifully manifests himself as the Archavigraha. So the impersonalists, they cannot appreciate that, so they do appreciate the universal form. So that is first step in God realization. Next step is Paramatma realization. And the highest step is the Supreme Lord, understanding the Bhagavan. So here, Prabhupada makes another interesting statement that this deity worship is for the neophytes. It's important for the neophytes. How can we understand this? Because the deity worship is very important for all of us. The prime reason is that it will help us to move away from the bodily concept of life. Because now we are so busy in maintaining the body. Suppose something happens to our body. There is a boil in the body. There is some skin problem. You know, always considering, you know, there is some problem in my head. There is some problem in my hand. You know, we are so concerned about our body, because we are in bodily concept of life. It's a reality. And think about what happened to us before becoming a devotee. Isn't it? If we had any problem, physical problem, then just a physical problem, we worry so much. Think about a person who is going to gym both morning and in the evening and building up his muscle. If something happens, some disease, something takes place, or, you know, a fair woman, you know, something happened to the skin, what happens? So much of worry, the life, you know, it becomes, you know, useless, you know. You know, I know a person, actually, he was handsome, tall, handsome, you know, attracted by the females in a nice position, but he had some skin problem. Something took place. And then his life, he went into, you know, intoxication. He couldn't manage his life. He became so depressed. Why? Because there is no other problem. There is no physical problem. There is no heart problem. He can still live. But something happened to his skin. And after that, his life was changed completely. He took more into intoxication, took more into smoking, more into eating, you know, different things. This is life. This is bodily concept of life. So when we have the same concept to decorate our body, you know, we also do our abhishek, you know, dressing, you know, we do everything. we have tendency to do everything, and we do that. So when we have this tendencies, when we take it to Krishna, when we do the everything for Krishna in the form of the deity, then that purifies us. So Srila Prabhupada says, if you want to decorate nicely our body, then use the same principle in decorating Krishna. So when we do that, then we can see the loving reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. So the deity worship is so important. And it gives us a support for our chanting. That's why the archana is given as part of the Panchanga Bhakti. It is part of Panchanga Bhakti. 5 items of devotional service are given, and 1 item is worshipping the deity. It supports, even though Yuga Dharma is chanting, deity worship supports chanting. But deity worship, of course, depends on chanting. At the same time, the deity worship supports our chanting. So it goes back and forth. So this is the importance of deity worship. Another point that Krishna, as in given in Bhagavad Gita, manifests the universal form from his transcendental form. So that's why Divyam Dadamite Chakshu Pashyame Yoga Maishram, Krishna says to Arjuna in the 11th chapter, Divyam Dadamite Chakshu, I'll give you Divya Chakshu, I'll give you divine eyes through which you can see me in my universal form. So most of the interpreters and most of the impersonalists, what do they say? They say the actual form of Krishna, the highest aspect of Krishna is Vishwarup, universal form. You can ask anyone other than the devotees of Krishna. They all, combined, they will say the same thing, that the highest aspect of Krishna is Vishwarup. Why? Because Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu, because Krishna had to give divine eyes to Arjuna to perceive this universal form. Because Arjuna is seeing Krishna all the time, no big deal. Even Duryodhana is seeing Krishna. Everyone is seeing Krishna. But now, to see the universal form, Krishna had to give this special eyes. So which is superior? So that is their argument. But the interesting thing is that this is the mercy of incarnation of the Lord. When the Lord appears to this material world, even demons, even they can also see Krishna. Even though they cannot appreciate Krishna, but they can see Krishna. So that is incarnation. And for Arjun is seeing Krishna eternally. Right? Krishna says, so many births we have come. And you have served me in so many different capacities. So Arjun is seeing always Krishna. But so to see this form, this particular universal form, Arjuna needed a special eyes, because this eyes were an inferior eyes. It's not a superior eyes, because Arjun is appreciating and seeing Krishna's Satchidananda form. Now he has to see his Vishwarup. So since Vishwarup is inferior to the Supreme Lord, this eyes which were given by Krishna to Arjuna at this point of time is inferior eyes. It's not superior eyes, but inferior eyes. And in what eyes Duryodhana is seeing Krishna? Is that actually superior eyes? It's not superior eyes. It is out of compassion of Krishna, Duryodhana is allowed to see Krishna. Still, it is not superior. But Arjuna's eyes are superior. Why? That is Premajana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Can you understand? That is the eyes of divine love. So with that eyes, Arjuna is seeing Krishna. And to get away from that eyes, Krishna had to actually give an inferior eyes so that he could perceive this Vishwarup. And did he like that Vishwarup? If it is the absolute form, of course, a great devotee like Arjun should appreciate. Arjun said, kindly remove this form. It is so bewildering. And even apparently his relation also got affected. Arjuna started saying, Saketi Madhva Prasapam Yaduktam He Krishna He Yadav He Saketi Ajanata Mahimanam Tavetam Maya Pramata Pranayena Vabi Echavaha Sartham Asatkritosi Vihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu Ekothava Pyachidasam Savaksham Tatsamek Swamahama Prameyam. Arjuna started saying, I thought you are my friend. And we slept together, we ate together. I must have done some mistakes. And I'm sure I have offended unto you. So kindly forgive me of everything. And then he started the Pitasirogasisacharacharasya. You are the father of the whole universe. And you are the most worshipable. So he actually started glorifying Krishna. Then he said, it is enough. He said, now, please come back to your original form. Then Krishna, again to prove that two-handed form of Krishna is the supreme most, he came to four-handed form, Narayan form. Chaturbhujena, he came with the Chaturbhuja. Then Arjun saw the Chaturbhuj. Then when he saw the Chaturbhuj, still he was not satisfied. Arjun said, you know, please come back to your original form. Then Krishna came to his two-handed Krishna form. So this is actually proving. So the same thing happened to even the devotees in Vrindavan also. So at one point after Nanda Maharaj was saved from the clutches of Varuna underwater because he took bath in a wrong time in Yamuna. After that incident, Krishna jumped inside the waters of Yamuna and he went to Varuna's abode and he saw he was worshipped by the demigods and all the great devotees, and Nanda Maharaj was released and Krishna brought Nanda Maharaj back. Then there was a big discussion about Krishna by the residents of Vrindavan. Who is actually Krishna? They were asking Nanda Maharaj, who is your boy? He doesn't look like an ordinary one. He is special. He must be a demigod. They finally concluded, he must be Narayan. Then they asked Krishna, yeah, you look like Narayan. And also Garga Muni had already said, Narayana Sama, he is equivalent to Narayan. He is same as Narayan. So he must be Narayan. So can you take us to the spiritual world? We want to see the spiritual world, the abode of Narayan. So Krishna took them. Krishna took them from Vrindavan. They went to the spiritual abode, to the Vaikuntha planet. When they went to the Vaikuntha planet, they saw everything, but they didn't get any satisfaction. You know, we don't want to be here. We want to go to a higher realm. Finally, Krishna took them to Vrindavan. Then they were looking around and they were thinking it is the same place. So then they went, oh yeah, we are with Krishna, we are, yeah, this is our place. So they forgot, Krishna is, no, this finally Nanda Maharaj thought, he's my boy, that's it. So the relation actually came back to the original relation. And they started loving Krishna and they proceeded with their normal duties as cowherd boys and girls and, you know, parents, that's it. So this is, Krishna is proving that the highest abode and the highest form of Krishna is his two-handed Shyam Sundar form. So here again, it is proven that Vishwarup is just a temporary material manifestation of the Lord. Just like we have our temporary material manifestation as our gross and subtle bodies, the same way the Lord has his temporary material manifestation as Vishwarup in both the gross aspect and the subtle aspect. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, the Big Bang theory discussed. There could be more to it to fail the theory.
Yeah.
One thing is that according to it, there was some energy produced at one place in space.
Yeah.
And then because of explosion, the universes, the galaxies are flowing away. And one day, so this could happen.
Everything is by chance. Chance, this happened by chance.
Yes.
That's why we are here.
Yes. Other chances like that, and there could be collisions of the universes. And secondly, according to it, one day the universe will start contracting after that energy is, you know, used.
Yeah, that is a big crunch.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the creation will end.
They have a different, you know, these are all theories, means different speculations. Another speculation is Big Bang, Big Crunch, and a cyclical Big Bang and crunches. So, you know, so there are different speculations. There's no proof to it, so yeah, if you want to accept, accept. Deny, deny. Definitely, all the Goswamis had the lovable deities. Point number one, there is difference in worshipping deities by a neophyte and an advanced. One is out of duty, and as Srila Prabhupada says, that is meant to elevate to spontaneous attraction. As Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, the beginning of Raganuga, he explains how it is. When one gets up, what we think, you know, most of the time it is a struggle to get up in the morning, first of all. Especially if you try to get up, you know, 4 o'clock or 3:30. It's a struggle, you know. Somehow or other, alarm is ringing, you know. Somehow or other, you know, turning off the alarm. And some, okay, so tired, you know. First of all, our eyes are opening with body consciousness. So tired. what does that mean? It's not an elevated consciousness. It's just bodily consciousness, you know. I'm so tired. And then somehow or other, okay, we had to do this service. All right, we do the service. Fine. But Prabhupada says, when one actually begins to develop some attraction for Krishna, then one thinks, when opens the eyes, thinks, oh, today I can dress the Lord so nicely. Today I can chant the holy names. Today I have so many services. Can you see the difference? So this is the nature in which we are actually being progressed from neophyte towards advanced. Now, when a pure devotee like Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami or Srila Prabhupada, when they worship the deity, they only see Sachidananda Vigraha. And the Lord also reciprocates as Sachidananda Vigraha. And they can perceive that also. For us also, the Lord is reciprocating. It's not that only Rupa Goswami, the Lord is, the Archa Vigraha is reciprocating. For us also, the Lord is reciprocating. But we don't see most of the times. One time we will see when we come and cry in front of the Lord, something has gone very wrong, kindly help me. Then, okay, everything goes, okay, then we come and thank, okay, very nice, thank you very much. So, this is once in a while we have experiences and that actually builds our faith, we cannot deny. But the Lord is reciprocating all the time according to our prayers. But we don't have any perception of that. Depending on our advancement, we do perceive. So, for Rupa Goswami, the Lord is always reciprocating and he is perceiving that also because of the purity of the heart. So, the deity worship of a neophyte and advanced are on different platform. Point number one. Point number two, they have to set the example for the neophytes by worshipping the deity. See? So, they are actually setting the example for all of us. That's why, if you see, why do we have deities in ISKCON? Srila Prabhupada explained, it is from the Abhideya Tattva. All the deities in ISKCON are based on the principles of Abhideya Tattva, the principle of the training in devotion service. And so all our deities are the expansion of Radha Govind, of Srila Rupa Goswami, because they are representing the Abhideya Tattva. So training us in devotion service. So Rupa Goswami demonstrated that Abhideya Tattva, even though he's on the Prayojana, he's on the perfected platform of love of Godhead, but he manifested, he actually explained how to worship the Supreme Lord. That's why, if you see Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, such a detailed explanation on deity worship, because out of the 64 angas of bhakti, as we can read in Nectar Devotion, most of the angas have to do with the worship of the deities. And if you look into Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, there are elaborate descriptions of deity worship, so much so that we can't even follow that. So that you understand? So this is for us. It's for us. That's why they are presented.
I know that. I'm not going to speak on Gopal Bhatta Goswami and also Ramachandra Kaviraj Goswami disappearance. Yeah, that is there. Ramachandra Kaviraj Goswami yesterday or today, something. Today? Yeah. Disappearance of Ramachandra Kaviraj Goswami. So, these two great events are there today, but there's a Nadu Gopal Prabhu will be speaking on them. Nadu Gopal Prabhu. He's a part of the, what is the name of that? Seminar, 10:30 there is a seminar. 10:30 in the theater or? Yeah, 10:30 there is a seminar in here in the temple.
Today.
In the temple room or theater, wherever. Huh? Today and tomorrow. So today, as far as I know, Prabhu will be speaking on the Acharyas. And I heard that he will be focusing on these great devotees for today. So I would request you to attend. That will be better. The Archa Vigraha? Yeah, it's not different because... Yeah, everything in this world, non-different in the sense as the energy and the energetic. Mahamaya is Kali, personification of Mahamaya is Kali, and her role is explained in the previous verse. She's helping, she's Lord's energy. So what was the problem? Why demigods prayed? Why did the demigods pray? Facilitate for what purpose? They prayed because the elements were not combining. Mahatattva and other elements were not combining. So now, can you understand what is the role of Kali? Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Granth Rashi Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayanta.